It's interesting how times change and languages change and how words describe things. And I was thinking this morning as I was reading, why do we have so many different translations? Well, none of us have the original Greek and Hebrew manuscripts, and even some of the scriptures was written in Aramaic. So they had to translate these into languages that we can understand. So throughout history, the words that we use have also changed according to our values, our generations, and even our interpretation of things. Now, I was raised as a teenager, a young man, in the 50s and the early 60s, and what we used to say, man, that is cool. Well, the word now became hot. Oh, man, she is hot. Well, what was once nifty became neat, and what was groovy became excellent. So whether cold, hot, fabulous, far out, boss, chick, deep, all these things, we understand what those words mean in the context of our cultural milieu. So we express similar feelings as our ancestors to our grandchildren. We just use different words to do it. It's interesting and engaging thing, though, about the scriptures is that they, too, keep saying essentially the same thing, as Trevor says, over, over. Why do you always say the things over, over, Pappy? Well, Jesus teaches, and he emphasized the basics of the faith and then creates parables and interpretation that bring light to God's truth and intention. And all through the ages, Jesus uses some new lingo to describe God's love and his plan for humanity. He's illuminating the old and then building it up in a way that fits his time and place. He tells these stories, as we call parables, earthly stories, stories that the people could relate to, but it had a heavenly meaning. As I mentioned last week, we looked at the parable of the kingdom and the bridesmaids and all that stuff. And today we're looking at the other parable, which is called the parable of the bags of gold, or manipulation, or multiplication. Now, Jesus in these parables wasn't speaking to mass like he did with the Beatitudes, where he had thousands of people out there. He was talking to the disciples, and he was talking to us. He began with the story in Matthew by showing them the temple, predicting his fall, and afterwards he described the time in which he would be sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. At reaping time, harvest time, the time of the Son's return, which we expect the Son to return soon. We have time at Christmas time, celebrating Advent. We know that Jesus came, we celebrate that, but we stay in a constant state of Advent as we're looking for his return. So in the context, Jesus places these two kingdom parables, and they both reiterate God's original commands. First, to till and keep the covenant with faith and faithfulness. Two, multiply and bear fruit of one's relationship with God's mercy and love. And through all of this, he goes all the way back to the story of Adam and Eve back in Genesis. And even the story of Babel. By teaching these stories of faith and faithfulness, of the prepared bridesmaids, if you remember, and the investors and multipliers of blessing, Jesus re-emphasizes God's primary commands in the language of his disciples' culture. And he's preparing and commanding his disciples to enact these commandments in real time. The results of this kingdom initiative was the explosion of the early church. The old, old story. Love to tell the old, old story. And I was looking in the hymnal in 156, and it's what the song's entitled, I Love to Tell the Story. And the chorus of the refrain says this, I'd love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme and glory, to tell the old, old story and Jesus and his love. When we read the parables, or in the Hebrew scriptures, we need to transmit these culturally laden stories and metaphors into context which Jesus was bringing up to us, and then we can identify them and understand them. And when we do, we see the shock value that reappears. This unfaithful servant, cast him out in the outer darkness. You can almost hear Jesus' original voice and having God's authority. So what's it mean for us to cultivate deep faith and to fulfill and be faithful to God in our current world? Can you imagine 2,000 years after Christ? And look at today's parable. What's it mean to multiply rather than hiding God's blessings of love and mercy and grace, as well as Jesus' identity with our own time and with our own culture? It's a modern version of what Jesus was talking about back then. He was talking directly to the disciples, and thank God for the written word. He's talking directly to us, his disciples of the current day. So how do we do it? It's hard, preacher. How do we do all these things that Jesus talked about? Well, the parable itself can easily be transferred in today's standards. In this, we see Matthew, who was the tax collector. He's just nodding his head, and Jesus is telling him, and yeah, he could relate to what he was doing. And he listened to his words. Wealthy man entrusts money to his hired investor, so to speak, or sometimes we have people that manages our funds in the market and all that. And he understands that, being the tax collector and dealing with money. He trusted one investor with $5 million and another $2 million, and yet he gave the other one $500,000, according to the way that he assessed their abilities to multiply the wealth. So, upon his return from a long journey, he finds the first two trusted investors had invested in the stock market and had multiplied his investments. He now has $10 million. The other one has $4 million as a result of his trust in their trusteeship of his money. But the third refused to invest, and he hid the $500,000 away in a box in his closet, and he refused to dare anyone to touch it because he might lose it. And then he feared the wealthy man. So the wealthy man asked, why didn't you at least put the money in the bank? CDs, bonds, so that at least you could have gained a little bit of interest. But the man claimed that he was so afraid of the master's wrath that he refused all to invest it, period. And he just sat on his hands. What he had taken from him, as the master saw, he could not be trusted with valued assets at all. So to understand the parable that Jesus wants us to understand it in the term of faith and commitment, we need to interpret the metaphors just as he would have with his own disciples. We have the Master God entrusting us with his property, care of God's people of this big, wide, wide world. He's got the whole world in his hands. The workers in the vineyard, the cultivators of the kingdom, those who worship him, those who declare him Lord, or in our case, we are disciples of Christ. We are commanded to be faithful to God, to wait as the bride waited and prepared our hearts to be loyal and faithful until Christ returns. You see, we're also entrusted with caretaking of God's people. Jesus, beloved of the world until he comes, the scriptures say, occupy until I come. We are, in other words, as the cliche says, we are his hands and his feet in the world of this time. He's not here in a physical sense, but he is here in a spiritual sense, and he commands us to work and be a part of the kingdom. So the first parable of the kingdom in the coming time tells us about our faith and be prepared, like the bridesmaids. The parable speaks of the kingdom in his time, real time, and tells us actively to invest in making God's kingdom grow. God's love and compassion and mercy grow in making people aware everywhere of Jesus' power and glory, and more importantly, his ultimate reward. Jesus predicted that many will do it to a degree that they're able. Not everybody has all the different gifts, but we all have gifts to be able to do it to the degree that we can to proclaim the gospel. And as much as we hate harsh things, sometimes we need to pay attention to the parable. For Nothing in Jesus' eyes is not fulfilling God's command to bear the fruit of the covenant in your current time and your current place. So today, here we are in time and place that challenges us and even sometimes just irritates us. We want things to be the way that they used to be, if you would say. We don't want to invest in this world that we see is just temporary, some kind of interim period. But God sees no time, and definitely no people in this world that God loves as temporary. Only as the time in which we find ourselves. Christians are called to be ministers to the people. We're all ministers of the gospel. We're the priesthood of all believers. So when you hear people talk about the minister, well, you're a minister. We're all ministers of the gospel. It's a wonderful gift that we have. But in time, we have to do this. This is the message of Christ. Do not wait. Take the blessings that God has given to you, the knowledge of the gospel that Christ has taught you, the love and the grace that God has granted to you, and begin blessing others in the world with it in the here and now and all the ways that we can think about investing into the kingdom of God. Those who hide it do it to their detriment. For God is calling us now to be the church in this time and in this place. Now, I like singing, and I sing happy birthday on the online service. What's nice about that, I can get to play it back. Now, I always thought that I couldn't sing, but I'm finding myself getting better and better and better, and I'm actually in tune. So when we have Vacation Bible School or we have Youth Week and we do all that, we have a lot of wonderful little songs that we grew up with. Now, I know that you know the song, so I'm going to echo the command that's in this little song, and then I'm going to do it, then I want us to join in and do it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. In a sense, this little song sums it all up about the two kingdom parables that Jesus was talking about right here. The parable of the bridesmaids and their lamps, and the parable of the multiplication of God's kingdom. Now, in the old 50s vernacular, that's pretty cool. Amen.